one of those things that
there are actually a lot of scriptures that we're going to be going to tonight. If you do try to turn to all of those, you're going to have a little bit of an issue because there really are a lot. And what I've done, I've got a lot of them up here on the screen. So if you do want to turn to me, you can try, but it's going to take a while to catch back up with us. So we're really going to look at a lot of scripture, which I think is appropriate. Sharing is something that we'll see throughout the Bible. It's also something that is just so simple, and we probably don't think about all that often, because the last time you were probably taught the lesson of sharing was when you were just a little kid. It's one of the very first lessons that we learn when we're kids. And you know, I would actually think that not just Christian families, but non-Christian families teach this lesson to their children too. Maybe it's for different reasons. Maybe they just don't want to have to hear their kids arguing all the time. So they, would you just share that with your brother? Would you just share that with your sister? But the fact is, it's something that we learn from a very young age. But as we get older, I just wonder how much we actually think about the amount that we're sharing in our lives. Whatever those things are, how often are we actually doing that? And typically, the way, at least the way I am, I feel like the older I get, the more kind of like, ooh, this is my routine, this is my tradition, this is the thing I like to do, and sometimes I don't really want to share what I have going on with anybody else. And so I think as we get older, maybe we're losing that just a little bit. So I want to talk a little bit about sharing tonight. Again, it's a very simple lesson, but one I think we need to talk about. Hebrews 13:16 says, "And do not neglect doing good and sharing, for with such sacrifices God is pleased." And immediately when you look at this verse, you can see that the purpose is to please God. In our lives, we would all say that, right? I mean, we're all Christians. We would say that we want to please God in our lives. So sharing and doing good is one way that we will please God. You also notice that right here it says that it would be a sacrifice to do such a thing. Now, we probably could sit around and talk for a while about, well, okay, and, you know, as Americans, as really, let's face it, in terms of the rest of the world and all of history, we are very rich people. Whether you're down here or way up here, socioeconomically, in America, you're a lot wealthier than most anybody has been throughout history. So we could talk for a minute about, well, when we give, are we really sacrificing very much, or is it just out of the excess? And we'll look at a passage that talks about that, of the excess that we have, the surplus that we have, that we give, that we share with others. But we're not going to go into great detail with that tonight. But it's important to look here that doing good and sharing are the things that Christians do. And the reason I'm even talking about this tonight is because Allison and I have kind of talked about some of these things together. You know, it's one of those things that just kind of, you feel it get you, you know, it's like someone just poked you and it made you a little uncomfortable. That's kind of how I felt as we were talking about some of these things at our house. In Acts 20 and verse 35, it says, "In everything I showed you that by working hard in this manner you must help the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he himself said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.'" Jesus himself said that. The one person who has saved us from our sins, the one that we look to for that salvation, who has cleansed us, who we're baptized in the name of, that we profess to follow as we are named Christians, has said it's more blessed to give, to share what you have, than it is to receive. And so you'll notice also in this passage, he talks about helping the weak. So it's not just sharing things with people who don't need anything. It's also helping the weak. We'll look at passages that talk about helping the poor. We're not really talking so much about tonight doing something nice for someone, buying their dinner when they're fully capable of doing that. It's not really what I'm talking about tonight. It's a nice thing to do. I would say definitely practice that, especially if you're going out to dinner with me. But that's not what I'm talking about. Okay, we're talking about people who really, really need something. And so the first point I'd like to make tonight is share your blessings. That's the first simple point. Share your blessings. God has blessed you with something or some things, maybe many, many things, but whatever he has blessed you with, you have an obligation as a Christian to share it with other people. And I'd have to ask the question, do we all feel like we have hearts of compassion? I mean, we're Christians. Do we all feel like we have hearts of compassion? We want to do good for others. When we see someone who has a need, we absolutely want to make sure that they are well taken care of. I mean, if somebody is hungry, we don't want them to go without food. If they're cold, in this cold winter we have right here, at least it's cold to me, we don't want anybody to go without a coat. without a place to live, some sort of shelter. But the question I would ask about that is, do we have a heart of compassion that says, I really, really want anybody who needs something, I want that need to be met, absolutely. Or is our attitude, that need absolutely must be met, and I'm going to do something about it? So the difference is, do we want God to bless people who need something through other people, or do we want Him to bless other people through us? Because either way, God's going to bless people. If there's someone out there who needs food, and God's going to give them that food. Is it going to come from you or me? I mean, who is it going to come from? I don't know, but that's up to you. He's going to bless somebody through somebody, and is that somebody going to be you? And I think it's a lot easier sometimes to just say, well, yeah, I really want them to do well, but not do anything about it. But this is about action, not about what I feel, what I would like to have happen. It's what I'm actually doing about it, which I think all of us agree here. That's what really matters. James chapter 2, verses 15 and 16 says, if a brother or sister is without clothing and in need of daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and be filled, and yet you do not give them what is necessary for their body, well, what use is that? When I was before you a few months ago, we talked in detail about the first couple of chapters, really, of James. And it's all about doing, about action. That you may have this knowledge, you may have this faith and this belief, and that's great, but it doesn't do anything for you if you don't actually put it into action. And this is what we're talking about right here. Is that if you see somebody who's naked and needs to be clothed, do you want them to be clothed, or do you actually go clothe them and do something for them? In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 7, we looked at this passage this morning. It says, with good will render service as to the Lord and not to men. And jumping out at you immediately would think about the Pharisees, because it says to the Lord, not to men. You think about how the Pharisees were rebuked and they were told, hey, stop doing things just so everybody can see you, but do things for the Lord. And that is a point that's being made here. But you'll also notice it says to render service. That's what we should be doing. We should be rendering service to the Lord. In James chapter 1 and verse 27, pure and undefiled religion in the sight of our God and Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself unstained by the world. That's about as simple as it gets, isn't it? Pure religion, undefiled religion, is doing things for other people who need your help. And it's such a simple thing. I mean, you know, we hear lessons all the time and about real academic lessons, you know, about the Bible, and you really dig into details, and oh, it really means this, and it really means that, and you look at all this stuff, and that stuff is important. Knowing the context of what you're talking about in the Bible is important. But it's just interesting how simple so much of being a Christian actually is. Not that it's easy. And there's a difference. I've probably said this before. Simple means it's very easy to understand. Easy means, yeah, anybody could do it, and it wouldn't be a difficult thing for you. It actually is a difficult thing. There are a lot of things in life that are very difficult, but this is so simple and so basic that he's talking about. So pure and undefiled religion, visiting orphans, visiting widows. I just have to ask, and you answer it yourself, when's the last time you've done that? When's the last time you visited somebody like that? And then my follow-up question is, how long was it before then did you do that? Because for me, and again, this is why I'm up here talking about it, is usually it would be something like, oh, yeah, I did that about 3 months ago. And so like every 3 months or every 4 months, I think about doing something good for somebody else again, and the rest of the time I pretty much think about me, if I'm being completely honest. I mean, I can't sit here or stand here and say, well, I've given up a lot of weekends to help other people, to visit orphans and widows. I can't say that I've given up a lot of weeknights after work going downtown into Memphis and trying to feed the homeless. I can't really say I've done that, because that wouldn't be true. That's why I'm thinking about it and talking about it tonight. Proverbs 25 and verse 21. If your enemy is hungry, give him food to eat. If he is thirsty, give him water to drink. Even if he's your enemy. Even your enemy, from one human to another. Do you have it in you to help somebody else, to provide for them the things that they need? The most basic things for life. So let's talk for a second. What has God blessed you with? I mean, what kind of stuff are we talking about? If we look at like physical blessings, if I said money, that immediately covers a whole lot of things. So if you just said money and resources, I think we all understand, okay, well, money is what buys the food that I have, buys the water that I drink, buys the house that I live in, the shelter I have. It buys the cars, the transportation that I drive around in. It buys all of those things, and all of those things can be used to help somebody else. So money is kind of one of those things that encompasses a lot of the physical blessings that we have. But some other things that we have that we can share, certainly just time. And none of us know how much time we have. We certainly know how much money we have, but we don't know how much time we have. But how much of your own time, even if you weren't spending a whole lot of money on somebody else, how much of your time do you spend with other people in selfless acts? How often do you do that? What about your energy? I'm a very energetic person, and I'm in good health, as far as I know. I mean, shouldn't I use that energy and that good health that God has blessed me with to go be a blessing to somebody else as well? I think that absolutely makes sense. That's exactly what I should be doing. I think God would actually be disappointed if he said, hey, I blessed you with amazing health. You had those two legs to walk around on, but you never walked to anybody to comfort them and help them or give them anything. And I gave you a steady job. You didn't have to worry about that. Why didn't you do something with it other than just do stuff for yourself? And sometimes I wonder if maybe that's what he's going to tell me if I'm not consistently, I mean, day to day, week to week, thinking about opportunities that are out there where I can help somebody else out. And let me say this too. And, you know, sometimes we talk about this. I think everybody sitting in this room is somebody who wants to do good to other people, who would love to help feed people who are homeless and give them shelter. I absolutely believe that. But what I would say about that from experience is don't wait for somebody else to organize it. Because typically that's what I would do. I would say, well, yeah, I'd like to do that, but nobody's really said anything about it. Nobody's done anything as far as I know. No one's asked me to do anything or to contribute to anything. We do some stuff, and of course I give to the church, but, you know, there are other things I'd like to give to too, but, you know, well, the church doesn't give to that. You know, it's not really viewed as a work of the church, and so, you know. And so you say things like that, but you never actually end up doing anything. I would say if you do know of an opportunity, or you just know that you want to find opportunities to help other people, the burden is on you to figure that out for yourself. Don't wait for somebody else. Do it yourself. And then grab a few other people with you and say, hey, do you want to do this? You want to do that? You want to help out? Be the person to organize it. My brother-in-law and I had a really good conversation about that because he had said the same thing. Hey, I wish we would get out and do some more things. And I said, do it yourself. Like, organize it. Be the person in charge. And then you won't have to worry about having an excuse not to do it, which is typically what I think I use. So be specific when it comes to opportunities. Find them. This is, we're right there in Memphis, Tennessee, right here. We're in Bartlett. Google opportunities to volunteer. Volunteer opportunities in Memphis, Tennessee. Volunteer opportunities in Bartlett or Germantown or wherever you live. And I guarantee you will find things to do. And so maybe then rather than coming home from work and then every night being able just to kind of relax and watch your favorite TV shows over and over and over again, you may just get out of the house for a few minutes and do something that could affect somebody else in a positive way. Somebody else who doesn't have the luxury of sitting in their home and watching one episode, one creative TV show after another just for their pleasure. And again, as I say this to you, remember I'm saying this to myself as well. All right. You also look at spiritual blessings that we have that we can bless other people with. The fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. I mean, is there anybody out there that you know that could use some love? So maybe you don't have a lot of physical resources, you don't have a lot of money to give to people, but has God blessed you with more love as you've become a Christian? You've prayed to Him to have more love for other people, have more love for Him. Is there anybody out there that could use some joy, that's going through a difficult time, that really could use the joy that you can bring to them? Is there anybody out there who could use somebody who's faithful or good or kind? Absolutely. And so we have spiritual ways, spiritual blessings that we can impart on other people as well. People are in need in lots and lots of different ways. Luke chapter 10, verses 30 through 37. I've kind of shortened this up. But in this passage, we know it's about the Good Samaritan. Now, the Good Samaritan, he comes across, you know, we read it for ourselves, that the man that we're talking about has been beaten, he's been robbed, and he's left for dead. Okay, he's lying on the road. And the short version of this is, as a man fell among robbers, A priest passed him by on the other side of the road. A Levite passed him by on the other side, but a Samaritan felt compassion and came to him and bandaged up his wounds, pouring oil and wine on them. And he put him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. Now Jesus asked the person who he's telling this to, he asked, which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell into the robber's hands? This is a no-brainer, by the way. There's no way this guy would have gotten this one wrong. It's the easiest answer in the world. The one who showed mercy toward him. That's the one who did the right thing. That's the one who was right in the sight of God. The one who showed mercy toward him. I mean, do you feel that kind of compassion for somebody who is suffering physically the way this individual was? I mean, I really think that all of you in here would see somebody like that and say, hey, we got to do something about it. And you would do something. And that's good, because what Jesus said, he says, go and do the same. So he gives him this lesson, gives him a really, really easy question to answer, and he says, go and do the same thing. It's just that simple. Go and do the same. Second thing I'd like to say, second point I would really like to make, is share abundantly. So first of all, yes, we should be sharing the blessings that we have. Share them abundantly. And here, the way I would like to put it for myself, share to the point at which you're a little uncomfortable. Does that make sense to anybody? Share to the point where you're a little bit uncomfortable. So what I mean by that is, we all are willing to share when we have plenty to go around. Or maybe we say, well, okay, we budgeted everything out. I'm not saying budgeting is wrong. You should. I budget. But we budget everything out. We say, okay, that's how much we're going to give. That's how much we're going to share with other people. And then when something else comes up, well, I've already shared this much. I'm not going to go beyond that. Does it make you feel a little uncomfortable if you spend more than you thought you were going to spend? Are you a little bit worried at that point? I mean, I know I would be if I shared a certain amount of money or my resources. I'd probably get a little bit uncomfortable. What I'm trying to say is, be okay feeling a little uncomfortable when you're sharing to that point abundantly. It's okay to do that. Look at some passages on that. Now, 2 Corinthians 9, verses 6 and 7. Now this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must do just as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or in a compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. It's self-explanatory. Self-explanatory. You sow sparingly, you'll reap that way. You sow abundantly, or as it says here, bountifully, you'll reap that way as well. Luke 6, verse 30. Give to everyone who asks of you, and whoever takes away what is yours, do not demand it back. I think the idea there is, don't be so caught up in the possessions that you have that you absolutely must have that back. You can't let it go. No, it's okay. God's blessed you with it, and well, you didn't want that person to take that or have that, but they have it. Let it go. It's okay. It's not that big of a deal. Acts 2, 44 through 45. And all those who had believed were together and had all things in common. And they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing them with all as anyone might have need. That's a lot of sharing. I got to ask you this. When's the last time you sold something so that you could share with other people? The times were a little bit different. I may give you that. But when's the last time you did or even thought to do something like that? You know, if you said, man, you need that much money. I just don't have that much. I just don't. I mean, let you look at my bank statement. I just don't have that much. Did you think about selling something so that you could help them out? I wouldn't have thought about that. Not until I look back at this passage again. Proverbs 3, 9 through 10. Honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first of all your produce, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. Proverbs 28 and verse 27. He who gives to the poor will never want. Read that part again. He who gives to the poor will never want. But he who shuts his eyes will have many curses. And this one really stuck out at me, because how many times have I walked past somebody knowing they needed something? You guys know what I did, because you may have done the same thing, but you really literally turn your head just like that. And you turn your eyes, you turn your face, kind of act like you don't really know that person is there right now. That's what I think of when I think of he who shuts his eyes will have many curses. I don't want to be that guy. But I want to be the guy who gives to the poor and will never, ever want. Really what I can say about that is, we don't need to worry that we're going to give so abundantly, so in that uncomfortable situation now that we've given so much, that God is not going to take care of us. Don't worry about giving to the point where God will no longer sustain you and sustain your life here. That's not something you need to be worried about. As a matter of fact, we're going to look at some examples where people weren't all that worried about it, and they didn't need to be, because God will absolutely take care of us. He will. No matter how much you're sharing with somebody, He will find a way to take care of you. We really need to rely on Him. And as we look at some of these passages, just think about how difficult it is for, I mean, come on, we have an American mindset. How difficult it is to truly rely on God for your resources, for your money. And maybe what we're really worried about isn't so much that we won't have food or water or clothing or shelter. It just won't be up to the standard we've already set for ourselves, that we've built up to. We've lived the American dream, and here we are on top. And we just don't want to go down any from there. At least that, to be honest with you, is how I feel about it. In Hebrews chapter 13, it says, "Make sure that your character is free from the love of money, being content with what you have, for He Himself has said, 'I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you.'" God is absolutely not going to leave us. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. "Do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than just clothing? Look at the birds of the air." And he goes into detail about the birds of the air and how simple and basic they are and how they're not, I mean, they're not as important as we are. "But look at the birds of the air, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they?" I would say, absolutely, we are worth a whole lot more than birds. But he says, "I will take care of the birds. I always do. Don't you see that?" So you can share, and you can share in abundance, but you don't have to worry from day to day. "I am God, I'm your God, and I will take care of you." That's absolutely what he will do. Now, with all these passages coming up here and talking about how we should just share abundantly, I'm not saying you have to throw away all your money. And I think we'd all agree, it's not really throwing it away if you're doing good things with it, right? But I'm not saying you have to go out and just empty your bank account. And you have to empty your retirement accounts, and you can't have that at all. You can't have any of that. That's not what I'm saying. But should you be willing to do that? That's really the question. Not should you go out today and empty out your bank accounts, because the Bible says you should share, and you should share abundantly and sell your possessions for other people. But should you do it if the need was there? Would you be willing to do that if the need was there? It's really the question. Look at a couple more passages. Luke 21, 1 through 4, because it seems to me there's a lady who was willing to do this. "And he looked up and saw the rich putting their gifts into the treasury. And he saw a poor widow putting in two small copper coins. And he said, 'Truly, I say to you, this poor widow put in more than all of them.'" Two little copper coins, "put in more than all of them, for they all, out of their surplus, put into the offering, but she, out of her poverty, put in all that she had to live on." That's real trust in God. That is real sacrifice. That is really sharing what you have, what God has blessed you with. Two little copper coins is what God has blessed you with, and you're even going to give those up. That's exactly what she did. She shows a very obvious attitude of, "I can rely on God. He will take care of me. These two little things I have to live on, I'm going to give those to somebody else because God gave them to me today. I'm going to make sure they can be used for good." And she relied on Him to get her through the next day. I think that's pretty awesome. Let's look at Matthew chapter 25. This is one verse, one passage you're going to want to turn to. Matthew chapter 25. And thinking about this passage, this is what really just gets me thinking and you know, kind of changes my perspective on things. What we have here, starting in verse 31, you can see that we're talking about the judgment scene. And you have people who are going to be on the left and people who are going to be on the right. And the judge is sitting on his throne. The king is on his throne. And let's start in verse 34. "Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. But then the righteous are going to answer, and they're going to ask him here, well, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? The king will answer and say to them, truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it to one of these brothers of mine, even the least of them, you did it to me. And then he continues on in the next few verses to say something that's really not so good for the people who didn't do those things. And he says, those on the left depart from me, accursed ones, into the eternal fire, which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. I was hungry, you didn't give me anything to eat, thirsty, nothing to drink. I was naked, didn't clothe me. I was sick and in prison, you did not even visit me. But you know what they're going to say? They're going to say, but Lord, when did we see you this way? The same thing that the righteous are going to ask, when did we see you this way? And what Jesus is going to say to them is, truly I say to you, to the extent that you did not do it to one of these, or the least of these, you did not do it to me. And where will these people go? They will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous will go into eternal life. And that's a passage that really got me thinking a lot. I mean, we're given a judgment scene here, and what is he basing it on? He's basing it on, did you share the blessings you had in this life with anybody else? Because if you did it with anybody else, you did it for me. And that's how I'm going to judge you. And so it makes me think about that a little bit more. You know, I can ask you, what percentage of your resources, of your money, are you willing to give up? I don't know, because that's a question you have to answer. But think about that. I mean, just think about it. If you were happy that you finally saved up $1,000, you were going to do something really great with it, but somebody came to you and they needed 50% of that, they needed $500, I mean, are you willing to do that? And you take it to a little larger scale, and maybe you've been working for a while and you've saved up money and you have $10,000 in the bank. Not bad. Maybe you live by that, well, I have to have 6 months' worth of living in there. That's really important to have. Any finance expert will tell you that. Have at least 6 months. So if you lose your job, you won't have to worry about it. You'll have something to live on. That's a smart thing. That's not dumb. That's a smart thing to do. So you have that $10,000. What if somebody came to you and said, I need like $4,000? Or whatever it is they needed was going to cost that, and they're looking to you. And what if they said they needed more than that? What if I need $6,000 of those $10,000? I need 60% of all this that you've saved, and I don't know how many months or years it's taken you to save it. How willing are you to actually give that up? And we can go on much, much larger scales. Maybe you have $50,000 in the bank. Maybe you have 100. Maybe you have 150, but I think if you get above that, be careful. I don't think it's insured with that bank anymore. So be careful with that. That's what I hear. But I mean, whatever you have, I mean, as the number goes up and the percentage stays the same, I need 50%. If you had $50,000 and someone said, I needed 50% of that, that's $25,000. That's not a little amount of money. How willing are you to let go with that? Because usually we say, hey, it took me a long time to get that. I sure don't want to just get rid of all of it right now. That's a lot of money to give away, isn't it? Makes you feel a little uncomfortable, doesn't it? Maybe that's the point at which we should still be willing to share. The third thing I'd like to say, if we are willing to share our blessings, say you're that person. I'm talking to a group of Christians tonight, so I know you guys want to do what's right, you want to do what's good, you want to share what you have with other people. I 100% believe that. So you're willing to share your blessings, and you even say, you know what, I'm willing to share abundantly, to the point where I'm a little bit uncomfortable because I was, you know, kind of saving that money for something else, and if I do lose my job, I may not have as much to live on. Even if you're willing to do that, I got to ask the question, are you willing to share salvation? Are you willing to share salvation? If we care so much about somebody who has nothing to eat, we care so much about someone who doesn't have any water on a hot day, or on a cold like night like tonight, they have no coat, they have no place to stay. If we have a compassionate heart that looks upon them mercifully and wants to do something for them to fill that need, how in the world would we not be willing to provide them something so much more important than that? If they die tonight, it doesn't matter if they end up with God. That's where they need to be. If they die because they froze to death tonight and they didn't have a coat, Wouldn't it be nice to know, though, that they were saved? That they had salvation through Jesus? That's the more important thing. Sometimes I think it's just we are willing to spend our money and our resources, but we're not willing to just open our mouths just a little bit more to say, hey, I know the truth. Do you know the truth too? I've got something else that I'd like to share with you. And let me just say, it's a whole lot more important than the money I gave you or the food I gave you. How often do we do that? Isaiah chapter 52 in verse 7. How lovely on the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who announces peace and brings good news of happiness, who announces salvation and says to Zion, your God reigns. How beautiful that good news is. Mark chapter 16 and verse 15. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. I think we know that one very, very well. Matthew 5 and verse 16. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. The good things that you're doing need to result in them glorifying God, not simply having food in their stomachs, having something to some place to go home at night and some shelter to cover them. What needs to happen is they need to glorify your Father who is in heaven in the things that you do. Philippians 1:20, according to my earnest expectation and hope that I will not be put to shame in anything, but that with all boldness, Christ will even now as always be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. And that's what I think we lack sometimes. We talk about sharing all these things, and then we can't share salvation, something we would all agree is much more important, because we lack boldness. But what reasons do we have to lack boldness? Think about them in your mind. What reasons do you lack boldness to say to anybody who comes across your path, I know the truth. I know salvation. I've got to share that with you. Answer the question in your own mind why you can't be that bold. Romans 1 and 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. Why would I be ashamed of that? God's power. Why would I be ashamed of that? Romans chapter 8, verses 31 and 32. What shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who's against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him over for us all. How will he not also with him freely give us all things? He's saying the all-powerful God has already proven himself, that he is on your side. When you lack boldness, remember that God is right there on your side. He gave you his son. You don't think he's on your side? He gave you his son. I don't know what more he could have given. And so God is right here with us. We can be bold in this. Joshua 1, 3 through 5. I really, really like this one. Every place, and let me set this up too. Of course, he's talking to Joshua. And Joshua's the new leader of the nation. And he's told him many times through this first chapter, what? Be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. And in the position Joshua was in and the conquest that's going to be happening, he needs strength. He needs courage. He says, every place on which the sole of your foot treads, I've given it to you. Just as I spoke to Moses, no man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I've been with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you, and I will not forsake you. I mean, think about that. Joshua's about to go and accomplish great things, but it's going to be scary. You know it will be. And it's a big task. And he says, don't worry about it. Wherever you walk, it's yours. I'm right here with you. Anybody who tries to stand before you will immediately fall because I'm with you. Can we not open our mouths and speak of salvation to people with boldness when a God like this is standing right there with us? Absolutely we can. Romans chapter 10, verse 11 through 15. For the scripture says, whoever believes in him will not be disappointed. And that's true. For there's no distinction between Jew or Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, abounding in riches for all who call on him. Whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? How will they believe in him whom they have not heard? How will they hear without a preacher? How will they preach unless they're sent? Hope you're following just how he's making this this argument. Very logical. Just as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news and of good things. We already read that from Isaiah. But walk that right back up. He's saying somebody has to go out and preach in order for a person to hear. And they have to hear then to believe. They have to believe then to call on Jesus. But it all starts with the person whose feet, he says, are beautiful because they're bringing good news. I don't know how beautiful y'all's feet are. I probably don't want to see some of your feet. What he's saying here, the whole point of this is, it is so beautiful that a person who believes in Jesus and is saved through him, it all started with someone walking right up to him and telling him the truth and bringing them the good news. That's where it started. It's a simple thing. And really, it should be easy. Consider, and maybe we'll have to talk about this in another lesson, consider what our early Christians faced when they were spreading the gospel and the difficulties they faced. Yet look how bold they were. It should be easy for us to be bold, especially with knowing that Jesus is right here with us. We're going to look at just a couple more passages, and then I'll let it be yours. Luke chapter 16, verses 19 through 31. In Hades, and we're talking about Lazarus and the rich man here, okay? In Hades, the rich man lifted up his eyes and saw, being in torment, and saw Abraham far away and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried out and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus so that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool off my tongue, for I am in agony in this flame. But Abraham said, Child, remember that during your life you received your good things and Lazarus bad things. But now he is being comforted here and you were in agony. And he said, Well, then I beg you, Father, that you send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, in order that he may warn them, so that they will also come to this, not come to this place of torment. He said, Please, I'm already here. I guess there's nothing I can do about that, but please don't let them, my own family, have to suffer the same fate. Send Lazarus. Shoot, send anybody to bring the good news to them. And so this is where I want to end with you tonight. Let's go back to the story of the Good Samaritan. You know, we're willing to share so much with people. We're giving people. We're caring people. We're compassionate. We're merciful. We want to share the good things that we've been blessed with others. When you look at the story of the Good Samaritan, that's exactly what we see. And I have all the confidence in the world that each one of us in here would be just like the Good Samaritan and would help somebody who really needs us. But I want you to consider a person who's been robbed and who's been beaten down and left for dead spiritually. And none of us in here can say that we don't know anybody like that, that has just left for dead spiritually. We all know people like that. Quite frankly, we see them every single day. Just go somewhere and there will be tons of them that are beaten down and that are so dead spiritually. Are you willing to help them now? They don't need your money. They don't need your food. They don't need any other resources that you have. And maybe you have a lot of them. That's great. Great for you, but that's not what they need. They need somebody who's willing to help them spiritually. Someone who's willing to bring that good news. And if you have feet, if you have legs, and you can walk, seems to me that we can all go somewhere, find someone, and share with them salvation. Rather than simply letting them go, not saying a word, and allowing them to share the fate of that rich man who's in torment and who says, Can you just cool my tongue? Can you just tell my family not to do what I did? I saw Lazarus, that poor man, sitting there and didn't do anything for him and didn't give him a thing. Could you please just go and tell them not to do the same? And let them know what the truth is. The very fact that we know salvation puts a pretty big burden on us. It's a burden we should all be happy to carry. We're really lucky to carry. I say lucky, we're really blessed to carry. And that burden is knowing the truth. If you know the truth and you truly have a heart of compassion, how can you stand there and watch all these other people walk by dead spiritually and not say a word to them? This lesson is about sharing. Sharing the most basic things in life that we have for others. I would say the most basic thing is truth. It's not food, it's not water, it's truth. It's the life that God gives us. We can be in heaven with Him through Jesus. I hope you guys will take this lesson and think about it. It's really given me a lot to think about. I appreciate your good attention too. What I'd like to say now, for anybody who is not a Christian, if you're here, there's a way to be baptized, or a way to be saved. It's baptized in the name of Jesus. And so, absolutely do that. I hope that you have been shared the truth tonight, and that if you are going to be baptized, that you will continue on sharing the truth with others for the rest of your life. If there's anyone else here that needs any prayers to the congregation or any other needs, you can now come forward as we stand and sing.